everyone. Welcome to the V Book Club podcast. This is a brand new podcast from the makers of V Magazine and V Speaks, hosted by Lisa Burwell. I'm the editor of V, Jordan Staggs, and I will be your host for the V Book Club. And our first guest that we have is Davis Brackett, who is the founder of Cars of 30A. So, Davis, welcome.
Thank you
for being here today.
Yes, thank you. We've known each other now for a couple years, and nice to put a face with the name and know that we both exist.
I know. It's so interesting, like, meeting people online via email and social media today and actually meeting them face-to-face is
That's right.
a fun, just different way to communicate. So.
Right. Well, thank you. Thanks for having me down. I know a couple years ago at our book launch, it was fun having you there and write the post-write-up article about the event and something that we still share often. I know I ping you every now and then trying to look for that link. I think I finally marked it as a starred favorite.
Nice.
So I can send that out to folks as often as I need to. So good to see you.
Well, it's great to have you in the magazine. And I'm a big fan of vehicles and classic cars especially as well. So it was really fun for me to get to do that interview with you.
Nice. Yeah, that's... Everyone down here is. That's kind of the beauty and the fun part behind what we're doing is you either have people that you immediately know they're car people, or as you get to know them and kind of peel things back and garage doors come up, then you all of a sudden realize, holy smokes, that's that's what you have in the garage. So it's a fun culture.
Yeah. So how did you end up here? Because I think you're from Atlanta.
That's correct. So my wife and I and our two kids, we do live in Atlanta, just north. My in-laws have been very fortunate to have a beautiful home down here for many years that allowed my wife and I to bring the kids and vacation and have fun down here at the beach. And we, you know, I have been coming down to this greater 30A area since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And so to bring my kids down here now is a fun passion thing that we as a family enjoy. But I just found myself always taking photos of cars, whether it be on a cell phone, a Polaroid camera, whatever it was. And then I never really knew what I was going to do with those photos. It's, you know, you'd post something on social and then it disappears. And I would just fill up SD cards of photos of cars. And finally at breakfast one morning at Crackings over in Grayton with my wife and our great friends, Katie and Ashley, I just kind of piped up and said, hey, I'm gonna start a book. Cars of 30A, and it'll give me an outlet to finally just place all these photos into a book and write copy. And they were looking at me like, this guy's crazy. and I did. And that was probably one of the coolest things I think I have accomplished so far, or we as a team have accomplished. So that's kind of what kickstarted it, of taking photos, finally finding a home for them, writing copy, and meeting some incredibly fun people along the way.
Yeah, well, it's a beautiful book.
Well,
so if you haven't picked it up, everyone, you should. And where can people find it, on 30A or just in general?
Yeah, so the bookstores along 30A have been great, from Hidden Lantern down in Rosemary to the team over at Sundog Books. They have been fantastic customers and just continue to buy and support. Mm-hmm. And it's so fun to drop books off and see some of the folks there. But also when you walk in to see people just randomly looking at the book that have no idea who this guy is and cut off jean shorts and a t-shirt. And I walk in and just say, hey, thanks, you know, look for looking at the book, and hand him a sticker or a koozie or whatever I find in my pocket. Just as a token of appreciation that somebody, whether they buy it or not, I always leave before they potentially buy it or put it down and look away, and just so I don't have to know whether they purchased it or not. But it's a great way to just say thanks for looking at this art.
That's so cool. So what is usually the reaction you get from that when you?
The last one was kind of, oh, thanks. And then I don't know if they really put it together. Don't really care if they do or don't. It's more the gesture and just kind of this sneak attack, if you will, of thanks for checking this thing out.
Yeah. So how did you go about the process, like when you decided that you were going to make this book? How did that work? Like, how did you edit down the photos you wanted to use, meet up with the people that, you know, different cars that you have in the book?
Yeah, so I'll take you back and kind of walk you through some of that and keep it high level enough to not bore our listeners. During my time at Mercedes-Benz headquarters in Atlanta, part of my role early on was managing the build process for all the vehicle brochures for Mercedes-Benz. So we would work with fantastic photographers all over the country, really all over the world, to come in, shoot our product in all these crazy locations. And then we would have thousands and thousands of photos to dig through and look for, mm-hmm. you know, how we were going to build these books. So I knew kind of early on what that process would look like in terms of sourcing the right cars, sourcing the right images, how would we lay it all out. And so in my mind, I'm a visual type person. So I sketch things out. Literally, I think I made a sketch of a flip book, stapled the back ends of it and flipped through it and just sent it to my buddy Ashley Lloyd, who lives down here, and said, let's just make it look like this, mm-hmm. you know? And
yeah.
He's like, well, can you put it in InDesign? I'm like, no, that's for you to help me with.
No.
And so that's kind of the process that we went through. And then I literally would just start going through and finding what photos do we have. It's building a puzzle, really. Mm-hmm. It's taking this box, putting all the image, and you guys know this from what you do here.
Yeah.
And we're putting images in and this works. And then you look at it and you're like, yeah, it really doesn't work. It kind of looks like the one next to it. Mm-hmm. And you're just playing and plugging mm-hmm. and then writing the copy. That was the fun part as well, because it gave me a chance, much like we're doing now, to sit down with wonderful people from local automotive enthusiasts here along 30A mm-hmm. to, you know, those of Dave Roshkob and Mike yep. Ragsdale and Erica Powell and just have a wonderful time meeting them, hearing about their stories, sending them questions, and then just pretending to be a copywriter for a second and yep. taking their answers and their responses and formulating something that's a quick read for somebody, a casual read. Mm-hmm. And it's so fun to see what some of these people's stories are, how they got their car, how they acquired it. You know, some were passed down, some were dream car poster cars that hung on these individuals' walls. Mm-hmm. Erica's, if you haven't read it, I don't want to spoil it, but it's one that tugs on me every time. I think it's fantastic. Part of a proposal from her husband Chance, and the way she received the key and her engagement ring, and just stories that you're like, this is incredible. Mm-hmm. So every car has a story. They're all fun to tell and fun to share. And so that roundabout answer that I just gave you was knowing in my head what it looked like, putting the right images in place, knocking on people's doors or sending them an email saying, hey, you don't know who I am, but this mm-hmm. is what I'm going to do. We're going to create a book and you're going to be in it. And the scary part was no one said no. And okay. that only meant to me, uh-oh.
This is going to be a big book.
Now I've got to do it. Yeah. And that was the part that I was like, let's buckle up and get this mm-hmm. thing done. So it was taking some experience from MBUSA, applying it to what, you know, to what I was trying to do. And lo and behold, it came together right. pretty nicely.
It did. Yeah. We love
Thanks.
It. So going back a little bit, so how did you get into cars in the first place? Like what sparked that love for you?
Yeah. You know, you get the question a lot in being in the automotive industry mm-hmm. and for me, most car enthusiasts, their passion for cars start at a pretty young age. So it's pretty common for people to say, oh, I've loved cars since I was a kid. And I'm going to be incredibly cliche and say it's same for me. Mm-hmm. You know, some of my earliest childhood memories were watching my dad on a round kitchen table, much like this as a kid, build a 930 or 935 Porsche turbo car.
Okay.
And when I say model car, the ones I would later build as a kid were like, snap these two pieces together, put these two screws on, and ta-da, you've got your car.
Right.
What he was building was painting the hoses and painting the screws and putting multiple layers of coats and clear coats. Mm-hmm. And so I watched my dad go through this process that seemed like, as a kid, it took months for him to build this thing. And I would just walk around the kitchen table and look at it. And every day something changed. The angle changed, the color changed, the stance of the car changed. And so it sounds silly, but in my mind, it's like I would take these, you know, shots in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And so fast forward this many years later, when I would do work for Mercedes-Benz or other OEMs or take the photo on my own, I knew the angles that I wanted. I could see them in my head. It was just a matter of taking the shot.
Right. So you've been doing this in your head since you were a kid.
Yeah. Like I want to say from probably like 3 years on, 3 years old to now, it's like I know the angle. I know what I'm looking for. I just was never the one that had to actually, you know, press the button and pull the trigger on the camera and make it happen. So it dates back a long time. I wish my dad still had that car. I wish I knew where that model car was today. It would be a lot of fun to have, but that's kind of what set the journey. And then my dad and I would just build model cars, and we would build RC gas powered cars and drive them around, and we would go to car shows and meetups, and it was just a fun cultural thing that dad and I always enjoyed.
No, I'm the same. Like, my grandfather was always rebuilding old cars. He was a big British car guy. Okay. So he had like a Triumph TR3 and multiple MGs that he had rebuilt over the years. And it always fascinated me, and kind of wish that I had learned more about it then, you know, from him, and learned how to build a little bit and that kind of thing. So this was like so fascinating to me to hear the model side of it as well.
Right. Well, you're keeping that from me. You should have told me about all the British cars. We could do some fun shoots and write-ups on
you. We will. Well, we've got time.
We'll flip the script here soon. We'll do something different.
So tell us a little bit about what you have coming up with the Cars of 30A.
Yeah, so we are incredibly excited. I've been very fortunate over the past several months to set myself up to be able to go full speed with nothing but Cars of 30A. And, you know, for me, it was, I didn't want this to continue being a passion or a side project for me while I had other obligations and work and a career. So for me to finally dive headfirst into this is probably it's been the most exciting 6 months of just building and getting this thing where I want it to be. So we've got a fantastic event coming up in Watersound at the Town Center Pavilion on October 21st, 2023. And we have flipped the script. You know, everything that we do from an automotive brand and lifestyle car company, if you will, is flip the script to do it different. How can we create an experience and do something that nobody else is doing? Or when people attend one of our events, they say, holy cow, it was elevated. It was right. The timing was right. The music was fantastic. The beverages, the food, the sponsors, everything was so fun. And so we've created this golden hour theme. You know, when you hear about those perfect moments of photography, much like automotive, you know, you go to car shows, and I was guilty of it when we did our book launch. It was 8 to 11. And lighting is terrible. Everyone's groggy. They're still wiping sleep out of their eyes, but you want them to come and have this amazing time. Mm-hmm. So we flipped the script a little bit and said, we're creating a golden hour, and it's going to be from 4 to 7 p.m. It's going to be when the lighting is beautiful and the color's beautiful and fantastic band and some of the most amazing sponsors up and down 30A, and just incredibly proud of who they are and the relationships that we've built with some of those sponsors. Mm-hmm. So we're super excited. Yeah. And Watersound and St. Joe, that whole team has been fantastic to work with on this, and get their approval, and knowing that they're coming kind of, you know, puts that healthy added pressure on my back a little bit to say, we got to blow them away. You know, we're going to make this thing so much fun that they're like, when are you coming back to do the next one? So it's been a lot of fun to plan. It's a lot to plan. Every minute is like, hey, did you get this email about this? Right. Did you get the right tablecloth? Are the logos
in? We understand that too. So
yeah, for sure. So it's the goal is to get all of that wrapped up here within the next couple of days and spend the better part of, you know, nearly 3 weeks just marketing this thing like crazy to support the sponsors who are a part of this, who have bought in as a sponsor to say, hey, we love what you're doing. We want to hitch ourselves to you and to what you're bringing to the community. And because of who they are, it allows me to do what I want to do as well. So it's a great partnership. It's a great sponsorship for both parties, and just looking forward to delivering the best possible way we can for these sponsors.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be a beautiful location too. You know, we know that's going to be a good event. And how is it going to be set up? Like, what can people expect when they get there?
Yeah, I wish I knew. I'm kidding. So the pavilion, it's much larger than I thought. And when we went down several weeks back to scout it for the first time and really know, okay, this is going to work, and let Mike and the team there at St. Joe know that this is where we would like to do this. I stepped foot in there, and I could hear my voice echoing under the pavilion, and I was like, uh-oh. We need a lot. Yeah, we need a lot of sponsors to fill this thing up, to make it feel full and complete. Mm-hmm. We need more than just an individual with a guitar. We need a band. Like, we want to rock this thing out, right, and have people that are in the new condos beside it to say, what's going on over there? Mm-hmm. So underneath the pavilion, we've got a couple great cars set up right in front of the entrance, just staged to let everyone know as soon as they arrive what it is, what they're there for. We've got great Cars of 30A swag and books and hats and keychains, whatever. And then it flows right into the rest of the pavilion, from Palm Folly and Distillery 98 mm-hmm. as our beverage sponsors to grab a nice beverage, to take a look at some of the other sponsors that we have, from Garage Expert Floors and what they can bring to the garage customization world, if you will, down here. Some other great sponsors there as well, from Earthlink and streaming live college football games mm-hmm. to a wonderful band. And then we'll flow from that through the backside, where we've got the roughly 120 to 140 parking spots okay. that we can fill up with cars. Some of them will be tents from some of our other sponsors, mm-hmm. Ferrari of Atlanta, Porsche of Destin, Velocity down in Pensacola, 34 North Defender. So we've got great brands that folks around the area can associate with, bring mm-hmm. their cars, participate with it. So we've got fun cars to look at, from exotics to beach trucks, to some really fun music, great event, and we're looking forward to kicking it and having a good time.
That sounds awesome. I can't wait to come.
Yeah. So I can't wait to see you there.
Yeah. What were talking earlier about the car, the poster, you know, the poster car.
Yeah.
What would be the one that you had on your wall as a kid? Like, what was your ultimate, like, dream car?
It's funny you ask that, because I can't narrow it down to, well, I can. If I had
you
to,
don't
narrow,
have to narrow it down to one.
If I had to narrow it, well, I will. Let's make it interesting. Okay. If I, because we as car people will always mm-hmm. play this game. You mm-hmm. got X number of dollars, what cars you put in the garage. The dream car for me, it's changed a little bit over the past decade or so. It'd probably be a 997 GT3, Porsche okay. GT3. Mm-hmm. And call it 2010, 2011. Mm-hmm. I just love everything about those cars. As a kid, though, growing up, they were the Mercedes-Benz C43 AMG, which I had, and kind of hate that I sold it. It'll be the one car I always look back and say, God, why did I sell mm-hmm. that? But I did. So that car has been drawn and framed and hangs in my son's room,
okay.
along with a Ferrari F40 and also a roof, which roof, for those of you that do know, don't know, we'll take in a little journey here. Roof is an automotive company that basically buys chassis directly from Porsche. Mm-hmm. It's not badged a Porsche car, it's badged Roof. And they basically take and modify these cars. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't even say modify, because they actually make the cars at their manufacturing, at their headquarters, their mm-hmm. plant. But they're basically everything you would want a Porsche to be, magnified, right. from exclusivity to performance to engine tuning to exhaust to transmission and suspension. Mm-hmm. It's just fantastic. So all three of those cars are drawn by an artist and hang in my son's room. So it's tough to narrow it down, but those would be
three. That's the three. So you didn't even have to think of it hypothetically. They're already there.
So he sits there and still looks at him today. And he's like, Dad, remember when you had that car? So soon I might have to, I'm going to have to take it out of the room and put it elsewhere and kind of remove that temptation or mm-hmm. the sour memory
you
of selling it.
Find another one.
I know. And then I sell it, and then I get what I thought was going to be a dream Porsche, which I found out today Lisa drives a Porsche Macan as well.
Yep.
I had a 2017 Macan GTS and actually totaled it a few weeks ago. So we're now going through the process of dealing with our wonderful insurance friends and trying to get things settled up there so I can move on and find the next one. Yeah. So
what's one of your favorites that's going to be at the show?
Oh, boy. Rory Ferris has become a good buddy of mine down here in the area, and Rory lives over on the Bay side. He has got he and I don't think could be any more similar in terms of our style of love for watches, vintage watches, mm-hmm. cars. And he's got such a cool nostalgic car collection, from his old Range Rover to it's actually in the book, his 76 911 Outlaw that I drove all over 38 taking photos of, and felt like a superhero driving that thing around. Mm-hmm. I hope he brings that. I know he's bringing his black Ferrari Testarossa, And there's something about a black Ferrari Testarossa that looks like a spaceship. It doesn't look like it should have ever even been built. And then when you see it, and let alone if you ever get a chance to drive it or be in it, it's insane. It's so much fun to be around and see just the detail, the style. It's so period correct. It's 80s. It's angular. It's got, you know, air vents and pass-throughs that you can see through and stick your hand through them, and just really wild, outlandish, exotic takes. Mm-hmm. But it's there's going to be a lot of fun stuff. The Broncos, the old Land Cruisers. I know, you know, both of those vehicles down here in this area are great. People see them drive by and, you know, everyone waves. But we've got some fun new exotic stuff too. I mean, Ferrari's going to bring some amazing vehicles down. I don't want to spoil the surprise of some of the new stuff that they're bringing, but if you haven't seen some of the newest Ferrari models in person, come check them out, because they're going to be wild. And when a sponsor like that announces that they're going to be a part of it, it makes other people in the area go, well, wait a second, I've got a Ferrari too. I'll bring it. And so you continue to uncover and meet new people as well. Mm-hmm. So the Ferrari option or flavors that will be at this event will far surpass what few we really had at the first book show launch. Yeah. We've got a whole area designated to just Ferrari. So there's some fun ones that have been submitted. Everyone submits the cars, and I can go through and see what's been submitted and the photos they've taken and the quick little description about what the car is and what it means to them. Mm-hmm. So far I can go through and check everyone's out and say, this is fantastic. I can't believe this is coming. It's still kind of a pinch yourself moment a little bit that you somehow find a parking lot to load up with some really cool cars. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we've got some fun stuff coming.
So is getting all of that in from these people that are interested in the show, you're thinking like, oh, okay, book two, like, here's my lineup. I'm narrowing them down.
You had to go there, didn't you? Yeah, I want to continue to give what we refer to as first gear of the Cars of 38 book a little bit of breathing room to really, you know, this has been a slow play. It's been a sink your teeth into a brand and into a culture. And, you know, I've said from the beginning, my entire mission in all of this is to just wrap my arms around this community that I love of beach loving car enthusiasts and say, we're going to build a community. We're going to build a brand that people want to be a part of, associate themselves with, come to the events that we do. And so, yes, the list continues to grow. I want to give first gear a little bit of time to breathe, but I'd be crazy to say that a second gear, just because of how we planned it and built it and with the ability to scale it in mind, there's probably a good chance that a second one comes and we should have plenty of really awesome opportunities to photograph and meet new people and write some new fun stories about the cars that exist in the area. So stay tuned.
Okay. Maybe we will. Yeah, we're looking forward to that.
And we'll have to get you in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring some of the British cars. We'll find something.
we'll find something.
We will find something. For sure. So yeah, we'll keep you in mind as
we move
down the road.
Yeah. So one last question I want to ask everyone on this podcast is, what is your favorite book?
What is my favorite book? Wow. So a book that inspired what I did with Cars of 38 is a book to me that it's not a deep read. It's not something that it's just enjoyable. You sit on the front porch and flip through it with a cup of coffee and just look at it. A friend of mine, I'll call him, that I met years ago while at Mercedes-Benz, Matt Hranick. He's got W.M. Brown Project and does wonderful books and magazines. He actually wrote and did a book called A Man and His Watch several years back. And it was, man, if he sees this and he could reach to the camera, he may slap me. It's kind of like a glorified picture book, but it tells stories through the images of these watches and then the copy that goes with it is how these individuals acquired some of these amazing watches and became watch collectors. Mm-hmm. And so as I flipped through and kind of understood that concept, I was like, that's what we need to do. And that's kind of that's kind of the recipe, if you will, of what we wanted to do with Cars of 30A. And so the friendship kind of cultivated, and I sent him a copy of my book and I got a signed copy of his. And then he came out with A Man in His Car. So we kind of took the same approach to A Man in His Watch and applied it to A Man in His Car. Uh-huh. And again, it's pictures, it's stories about the cars as well. Mm-hmm. And just really fun, casual reads. You're probably looking for something really...
No, this is great. That really was perfect. And now you need to do watches of 38.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. There we go. We can just keep doing this thing. But it's no chapter book in my mind. But it's fun. And that was kind of the inspiration behind it. And when he launched his A Man in His Car book, he launched it at a really cool pop-up store that was in the Atlanta area a couple years back. Sid Mashburn, great men's clothing company and designer in the Atlanta area. And they did a pop-up store, and Sid and Matt are friends. So they went there and did a book signing. Mm-hmm. It was during that weird time frame of people getting sick and, that thing. And so I couldn't go because I was sick. And my father-in-law, actually, who we've been down here using and enjoying their beach homes over the years, he actually snuck over to the book signing and got Matt to sign his newest book for me and brought it to me. Actually, I think I got it for Christmas from my wife, but my father-in-law, Jim, played a part in going to pick that book up to bring to me. So just a fun friendship over the years of swapping things and pitching stuff that we could do in the 38 area to go in his W.M. Brown magazines and books and things that he does as well. So some similar styles and what we do. I think he's even done something now with like a man in the kitchen, a man with man with recipes. I butchered the name.
A man in his knife. We might want
to edit. That's right. And so he's got this whole like fun line of, he's a Renaissance man from watches and cars and fashion and cooking. And he's just found a really cool way to an outlet, if you will, to provide that wonderful content to a lot of people. So he's been a big inspiration for this book and for this brand and kind of what we do and how we do it. Mm-hmm. So
very cool. Well, is there anything else you want to share? Anything else you have coming up other than the car show? Or we just want to
make sure
everybody gets out there on October the 21st.
That's right. I think we've got enough on the plate at the moment. We're head down. We are plowing through getting everything finalized and ready to go out the door for that from, custom signage and tablecloths and keeping things, looking uniform and proper and right. And, all the detail of all that stuff is just it's so key and so important to what we do. The goal there is for, the throughput of people that attend it when they leave, they go, gosh, they just, they do it and they do it different. Yeah. And we can't wait for the next. And, I guess if there's a teaser that I would leave everyone with is that we've got some really fun conversations underway about taking Cars of 30A's kind of community events that we're doing and working with some wonderful hospitality partners to look to expand and grow that into something just extraordinarily awesome. I'll leave it there.
Okay.
That way people have to kind of continue to follow up and see what we're doing. But it's going to be what this event in October is on steroids. Okay. I mean, it will be next level. Yeah. And so we're incredibly excited, fortunate, great sponsors, great community who love and embrace what we're doing. And just couldn't be more excited to continue to build that for them, give them something to hitch to and say, this is fun. We enjoy it. So,
yeah. Well, we're excited to keep helping you share everything that you're doing and let the people know that they can go to @carsof30a on Instagram, carsof30a.com to find out what's happening and see what's coming up next. So thank you so much, Davis Brackett, for being here with us today.
Thank you, Jordan. I appreciate your time today. Good to see you.
You too.
Thanks.